This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Serena Ryan.
Good evening, Pete Dillon. How are you today?
Good, thank you. We're talking almost in whispers because we're in a little studio.
We are in a little studio and we have a new panel operator tonight.
Lovely
Matthew,
yes,
who helped us out of a tight spot at the last minute.
Yes, we've dragged him out of bed.
It is just creeping past 11 o'clock. This is Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the show. We've got bits and bobs to chat about tonight that are mostly of an international flavour. Am I right?
Yes, you are. There's a lot of news internationally around the GLBT community and stories and media treatments of stories. Not so much happening in Australia, but what is happening is well
compelling.
Worth discussing.
It is compelling. Yeah. Discussion.
Well worth a discussion. Oh, it's too late.
It is a bit late, and I have to say, today the weather was totally miserable here in Melbourne.
Well, it's just cold.
And I actually, it was the first day I wore a beanie.
And you do look fetching in headwear.
I'm rocking the headwear. Thank you so much. And then I just, because I have like a significant collection of beanies, scarves and umbrellas. And
accessories.
And so, look, I just found it really hard to get out of bed. I'm noticing that it's not light until after 7 a.m. and that just feels really miserable for me. It's a bit crazy because we've both been in much warmer climates in the last week.
We have.
So we've come down to the earth with a bit of a thud, I'm afraid.
It's a bit hard coming home from 25 degrees in shorts and T-shirts in Queensland to, well, cold night last night. I got out of bed this morning. I'm like, oh, you're joking. I'm back in Melbourne. As much as I love Melbourne, I adore this town. It was just a little bit of a shock to the system.
There were weird things
going on.
Yeah, look, it's a really busy time for us both, I think. And I know that I was the only person in the house this morning that was prepared to be out of bed. And I'm like, I'm really cold. And it's not great. And when life is very, very busy, you want to be warm.
Yeah, true. And I find nibbling on food that I like, it's a comforty sort of food, is also almost a hazard of winter. You know, I sit there in the afternoon, I'll be in a client's office, I'll be working on something, and I think I could really handle a bowl of mashed potatoes with cream and sour cheese. Sour cream and cheese and loads of black pepper. And I could just eat a bowl of potatoes.
Well, I've been rocking the soup lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, if I'm on location and I'm shooting, I don't eat a lot.
Take a thermos.
I'm considering it. In fact, it's funny you should mention that because I did think today, I thought, oh, it's probably time to make a purchase.
Yeah,
of a flash thermos, but one that's got a bit of style.
Yes.
So if people know where I can get one, they should tweet us on Salt and Pepper Joy.
Yes.
How can they ring us or text us on air@joy.org.au?
Yeah, or they can send a text to 0427JOY949.
Yes, indeed, because we've got our radiothon coming up soon. It's going to be really
important.
And
we would tell you to become a member, but we're going to wait until radiothon because we want you to be rocking this show.
We do, and we want to hear from people. We're going to take calls.
Apparently win a car.
I know, it's a Cherokee.
Jeep. It's a great big ass Jeep. Which would suit any self-respecting lesbian or gay man, or in fact, heterosexual, if that's the way you roll.
Well, it's all about diversity here
at
Joy, Pete.
It is.
Look, I think we're crawling up to 5 minutes past 11-ish. Let's have a song. We're going to play Take Me As I Am, which is by Charissa and Wyclef Jean.
Well, sounds fun. I want to send this one out.
It's time for the national news. You're not holding your little headphones
tonight.
No,
I tend to do that for the international news. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's because it's jazzier.
You know, this is the BBC World Service sort of
stuff. It's funny. I never get tired of you saying that, and yet it's inherently dorky.
Old ABC thing.
So, look, it's nationally. We're talking national news.
I just want to say that song, Take Me As I Am, by Charissa and Wyclef Jean. Love it.
Look, I'm feeling in a bit of a retro mood.
It's a bit sort of soul.
And I thought, you know, it's late at night, you know, we're crawling through the hour and
people
could
be up to all manner of things, and that music suits so many things.
So many interpretations of love.
It does.
Indeed. Okay, so look, Tony Abbott, surprise, surprise, has been accused of double standards.
Who'd have thunk it?
Oh. The Liberal Party backed New South Wales Senator Bill Heffernan amid a police inquiry into claims he's launched a homophobic attack against a staffer.
Now, it's allegedly smacked this guy and called him a poofter in front of witnesses.
Strikes me as a little bit homophobic. Call me old-fashioned.
Heffernan is known to be a homophobe. So... Craig Emerson, who has been quite strong in his defence of your man from the... Craig Thompson from Dobell, or speaking on behalf of the party, on behalf of the government, he's saying, look, I'm sorry, but you can't have a double standard. You need to ask this man to stand down. You need to, allow the courts to go through the due process. And... then worry about bringing him back once he's cleared, because Abbott's been like a little terrier at this Thompson thing.
Look, I think Thompson's dead in the water, and I mean, it's clearly a side issue to what we're reporting today, yes. But look, I think politics at the end of the game, it's just a game for bullies.
Mm.
You know, it's just, I mean, there's witnesses to this alleged event, this alleged assault, but other people are coming forward and saying that nothing untoward happened.
Mm.
And it's just another chink in the political armour of the Liberal Party.
You know what I'd like them to do? I'd actually like both parties to get on and govern the country and stop all of this bitchiness and sandbox behaviour. It's really starting to grate.
Well, I found the Craig Thompson stuff really... choreographed and overly scripted, crying on cue. A bit the way Julia does. Whenever Julia's in the real hot house, she tends to shed a tear in Parliament.
I didn't see it all, and I don't really have the time to go back and watch it because it was an hour and 3 minutes or something. He was going to be half an hour, on and on and on. People are saying he's disingenuous. People are saying that it's very hard to demand, video of him in brothels when he's got them in his hotel room anyway. Who knows? It'll all come
out. It's all very grubby. Look, we've been tracking this item for a while now since Campbell Newman came into power in Queensland. And we've held some concerns now for a few months that the Civil Union Act will be repealed. And it's looking to be quite likely.
Well, it is. Attorney General Jared Blaisy is expected to make an announcement on the fate of civil unions just in the next couple of days. And people are actually starting to suggest that Queensland's going to be a very dark place for Queensland, similar to the Bjelke-Petersen government for a very long time.
Look, I think the rampant conservatism that seems to be sweeping the country in so many ways. I mean, you and I privately have talked about, the concerns that we have around this real conservatism that seems to be re-emerging, in that, the left is really the right and the right is just more right than it
ridiculous.
Could ever be. So, look, this is unsurprising, but it's terribly disturbing news. And certainly I've got a lot of Queensland mates on Facebook who are just frightened, and they're all wanting to pack their bags and move south. Look... certificates approving new civil servants celebrants are now being delayed with no explanation or straight answer regarding the fate of the over the 400 couples have actually registered their civil union. So what happens to them now?
And does the government particularly care?
I would suggest not.
I think if Campbell Newman goes too far, or his government and the LNP go too far, there'll be a one-term government, very similar to what's happening here in Victoria.
Oh, Bailey, he's not travelling well at all.
After the budget, they've cut the guts out of TAFE, and we found out today just people that we're working with who have been in the TAFE system, one for 16 years and one for 25 years, will have their contracts terminated, and there is no long service or anything for them. So this is a great concern. The other concern coming out of Queensland, of course, is the funding cuts to the Queensland Association for Healthy Communities.
These are the rip and roll people. Remember the rip and roll campaign, the ad shell campaign that they busted and, tried to get rid of?
So its funding is disappearing, and it's moving away from its core activity of AIDS and HIV to more general political issues, and it'll move to the control of an expert panel or a ministerial advisory committee on HIV/AIDS. We're going to talk to Paul Martin, who's a psychologist in Brisbane, in just a little while about this particular situation, because it's just terrible.
You know what really worries me about this more so, though, is this funding cut also spells an end to health promotion activities that focus on work with gay men, gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender awareness, drug and alcohol services and the loss of 26 staff positions. So this is carnage. It's not just looking at what, you know, the HIV and AIDS services are losing, but more broadly for our community, which is the majority of our community doesn't have HIV.
No.
But our community continually needs support in promoting its awareness.
And also the prevention of HIV. And clearly money spent on these sorts of organisations is there to prevent the spread of HIV. And without those organisations, there isn't an education program for younger, you know, GLBT community members. And therefore, the potential for the increase in HIV because of a lack of education is quite real.
Mm. Yep, it's absolutely real. Look, we're going to go back a little bit to Tony Abbott again, I'm afraid.
Because
we're like a red, what is it?
A red rag to a bull.
Yes. Indeed.
Oh, we're falling over our cliches all over the place.
Gosh, we are. Look, what we're hearing on the grapevine is that a number of his MPs want to decide for themselves whether to vote for gay marriage, marriage equality or not, and they're challenging him.
One of which we understand to be Malcolm Turnbull.
To grant them a conscience vote. Well, I'm yet to see. I'm not quite clear on Malcolm's position at this stage because he surveyed.
Malcolm is either.
Well, he surveyed Wentworth. 72% came back in favour of marriage equality, not civil unions. He put up a motion for civil unions.
Yep.
He clearly has to follow the party leader. So he's now saying he's got support. He's supporting Tony in his opposition to a conscience vote. But we know that, you know, in other press reading, Malcolm is wanting a conscience vote. I'm so confused.
A great big survey published in the Sunday Herald Sun just this weekend shows that 77% of the coalition voters want the party to allow a conscience vote on same-sex marriage and say it would be a smart move if Abbott allowed one. Would this endear him to those less rigid conservative voters, do you think? Because he's not endeared to them at the minute.
He's inherently not that likable. Mm. And let's not forget he's got a gay sister.
Yes,
you know,
true.
I mean, that has just...
You think that it would breed some common sense.
I would have thought that it would have breed some common sense and some integrity at a family level and at a political level, but clearly family and politics for him don't connect, but religion and state do.
Funnily enough.
Strange.
Now, if he allows a conscience vote, he'll represent the wishes of those of his voters, preventing some disunity in his ranks and perhaps upholding some coalition values of individual freedom. Because if he does deny a conscience vote when these bills are lifted off the table, it'll be the first time in history that the coalition have not been granted a conscience vote on a substantive policy issue, which is absurd.
So that's very interesting to me. So Julia and Tony both run the risk for being remembered as having done something awful, which is not allowing a conscience vote for marriage equality, and Julia not supporting that either. So is this really what they want to go down in history for?
Well, it's what they will go down in history for. It's quite extraordinary. Coalition figures who reportedly, and we say reportedly or allegedly or as we're led to believe, that supporting for conscience vote include Joe Hockey, who's the...
He made those comments last week about Penny Wong.
George Brandis, who's the Shadow Attorney General. Christopher Pan, who's
surprise.
That little... What do they call him? Prissy Pine. Greg Hunt, Nigel Scully, Malcolm Turnbull, Barry O'Farrell, Simon Birmingham, Barnaby Joyce, Russell Broadbent, and former Government Minister Amanda Vanstone. So... That's a fairly powerful lot of Tories.
That's sort of A-list libs.
They
A-list.
Are.
A-list.
So I'm hoping that pressure on Tony continues.
Look, I think it won't. I mean, I think it will continue, Pete, but I wouldn't suggest that it will impact because he is like a dog. Another cliche is like a dog with a bone.
He
is not going to do this.
So bring on a leadership spill.
Because well, I want Malcolm in the seat and then the Libs will have my vote. I'd vote for Malcolm in a flash.
Another story now, this time coming out of South Australia.
Ian Hunter, who we've spoken to before.
Labor MP in South Australia, has introduced a bill to Parliament to allow fertile same-sex couples or single women to access ART. It happened... Sorry, it's
That's past... assisted reproductive technology.
Which happens here. It's available in Victoria. It's passed the upper house on a conscience vote, oddly enough, and is being debated by the lower house MPs. Only women deemed infertile can now access IVF, which is part government funded.
There's someone speaking in opposition to it, which is Mr. Hamilton Smith,
Liberal MP.
He's opposing the bill, saying he's standing up for the role of the father in child rearing. Well, you know, there's a stack of single mums out there that have got deadbeat dads for their children's parents, fathers, and they get nothing from fathers. So this father thing.
Crazy stuff. He said that a push to allow lesbians access to IVF is undermining traditional family and writing off fathers.
Also, it allows a woman to go out through an act of technology, have a child out of wedlock without any father being involved at any time. I've
got a stack
of mates.
As compared to a woman who can go out and through an act of being drunk, have sex, have a child out of wedlock without any father being involved at any time. Change the words.
I know. I've got a stack of mates at school, from school, that never wanted to marry but wanted babies, went out, got pissed, pulled, got pregnant, raised a kid on their own.
Absolutely. Happens all the time. They can decide to just go off and have a baby using IVF. It's not that simple for anybody who's been through IVF.
And it's so bloody expensive.
Between 6 and 12 goes to get it right, or for it to work, at $8,000 a pop.
Well, we've got another Catholic weighing in here. Archbishop Philip Wilson is urging other MPs not to support the bill because a child's right should come before an adult's desire to be a parent. He's saying children are entitled, whenever possible, to know, love and be cared for by both their mother and father. Yet that's an ideal, but not always a possibility.
Correct.
Mr. Hunter is now countering this and saying that, you know, parental makeup of families has very little impact on the outcomes for the child, and what matters is a loving environment. So, you know, you've got this push-pull thing here, and it's around, you know, lesbian couples have the right to access IVF. It's a no-brainer. Again, it's not about marriage equality, it's about equality.
Mm. The marketing manager from Flinders IVF at Flinders Hospital in South Australia, Joe Laboric, said the Reproductive Centre has been providing services to same-sex couples for almost a year through its interpretation of the definition of infertility.
Love it.
And he says, the key is the inability to father a child, so by definition, lesbian couples are infertile because neither of the two patients can father a child. Read that, Archbishop.
Stick that in the pipe and smoke it.
It is, oh, I don't know, 20-something past 11.
Oh, we're creeping up to the middle of the hour, I think.
I can never read these clocks. I need to wear my glasses.
I know. Look, we've got Dr. Paul Martin on the phone. Good evening, Paul. How are you?
Good evening. I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you for joining us, Paul. Look, we wanted to chat with you around some of the funding cuts to, you know, the services, the Queensland Healthy Communities, and what you think the mental health impact might be as a result of this for people accessing the service.
Absolutely. Well, just before I start, there's a little bit of confusion normally because the guy who runs Quack is also called Paul Martin. So I'm Paul Martin, the psychologist. He's the one that runs Quack. So I always like to make that distinction. Look, the way that Quack works is that the majority of the money that they get is for HIV prevention. Now, that funds not only HIV prevention programs such as the Rip and Roll campaign, which was quite controversial a while back, but was extremely successful, but it also funds quite a lot of infrastructure which provides for a lot of other services that they offer, which is things such as cheap counselling, just lower fee counselling services, which makes counselling more accessible to people. They reduce isolation by running lots of groups and running different workshops and programs. So what they're really good at is seeing HIV prevention with a psychosocial context. So in other words, it's not just about trying to get people to use condoms, and that's at the end of the day what we want, but there's a whole raft of kind of, you know, this huge framework around that. So what will happen is that if the government goes ahead with what they're saying, it will strip Quack of most of their funding, which will mean that a lot of the, because of the infrastructural needs for a lot of these other programs that improve well-being and mental health, a lot of these programs will not be able to run. They will have to be closed down or cut back significantly.
Paul, what are the likely outcomes then? If that's the case and those programs and the infrastructure is cut significantly, what are some of the likely outcomes from your perspective?
Yes, so if you cut those programs, there will be increased social isolation from people, diminished access to mental health services, For the most vulnerable people in our communities, we have people, transgenders even worse, but with same-sex attracted people, it's up to 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than other, than heterosexual populations. So we're looking at a potential increase in suicidality.
And you mentioned that, that this is a trans issue as well as a gay and lesbian issue.
Absolutely. So the HIV money, prevention money, is spent in trying to assist gay men to reduce the infection of HIV. But what happens is that because they're an LGBTI organisation, a lot of that infrastructure goes towards transgender, lesbian, bisexual programs as well, and that's why they went from Quack to Healthy Communities.
Okay, look, my worry here is obviously the impact on people's mental health and the suicide rates going up. That's the primary concern for us in terms of reporting this item, Paul. Secondary to that is the abolition of awareness programs that promote the importance of understanding what it is to work with gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender populations and all of those knock-on effects around awareness and drug and alcohol and other satellite services that have been informed by this funding.
Well, there's a couple of aspects to that. One of them is that that they have said, this government has said, we're only going to get rid of your HIV prevention money, which is about 2.5, 2.6 million. But what they said is that, but what's happened is that they made a later announcement saying, now we're going to cut your the funding for alcohol and drugs and LGBTI awareness. So there's something else going on, and that's become very
well. I think, you know, unfortunately, Queensland now has a very anti-gay government with the proposal to reverse the civil unions. I just wonder if there's a whole sort of raft of things coming through that are all about shutting down the gay and lesbian voice in Queensland.
Yes, look, I think there is a certainly a bias there against gay and lesbian people. We're dealing with a parliament which has no balance. It only has 7 Labor MPs in it, which is unprecedented, apart from when they first had a parliament back God knows when. So we're dealing with a sort of a cowboy-type situation where they can do whatever they want.
As the rednecks ride in on their rodeo horses.
That's right, exactly, with a crucifix around their necks, because a lot of it is about... They're very... I was talking to Carl Catter today about... the influence of the Christian right as well. So I think that they're held to ransom a lot by the fundamentalist Christians.
That's evident right across Australia. Paul, I wonder what sort of pressure this is going to put on other mental health services, which are, like everywhere else in the country, probably already overstretched, under-resourced, underfunded. So without Quark, there's now there's going to be more pressure put onto those already existing mental health services.
Look, absolutely. And look, the problem is not only are these services overstretched already, so there's a problem there, but one of the psychologists who works with us, Heidi Jansen, has done some research which showed that 50% of lesbians have had terrible experiences when trying to access mental health and physical health professionals. And would be unlikely to go back, which means that a lot of gay and lesbian people are unlikely to feel comfortable accessing mainstream services. So what they're doing at the moment is they're going to cut out the collective wisdom of 10 years of people understanding the psychosocial aspect of HIV, plus the mental health and well-being of LGBTI people. That'll all go. And they're going to start this new organisation, which is about HIV prevention, which is not LGBTI, also gay men focused. And a lot of the mainstream services that will now have to soak up a lot of the vulnerable people in our population will be unlikely to access those services, and they're overstretched anyway. So we're looking at a massive problem, and also an economic problem for the state, because this is going to cost a lot of money on many different levels as well.
Well, let's not forget the fact that there's nearly 30 people losing their jobs and that creates its own mental health crises in this really poor economic climate. Look, Paul, we've got to leave it there tonight. We would like to thank you for your time. It's great to talk to someone on the ground that can give us a really good bird's eye view of what the implications are. And we're gonna track this story. So we will come back to you again for another comment. We've been chatting with Dr. Paul Martin, who's up in Queensland, and a psychologist who's just offered us a really good snapshot of the impact of that reduction, that abolition of funding up in Queensland. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Paul.
My pleasure. No worries. Thank you.
Nice guy.
He's a nice guy, and he's really switched on to what the situation is, and that's my concern.
I was a little girl alone in my little world who dreamed of a little home for me. I played pretend between the trees and fed my house guests bark and leaves and laughed in my pretty bed of green.
She just loves a sway into that music.
I know, she wafts in.
I can't not sway to that music. It's so evocative. I love it.
I think one time we might get you to sing an intro.
Okay.
It's Noni Hazelhurst, everyone.
Yes, of course it is.
She's in the house.
She's in the big house.
Now, you were just telling us that you'd read an article about if you want your brain to work better, you've got to get your hip-hop on.
Yeah, it's
that
really
music is good for your brain.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that really hits me is that all these studies have been done that say, you know, if you play certain kinds of music in prisons, for example, you can calm people down who are very stressed and anxious and aggressive. And if you play certain...
The Mamas and the Papas.
Yes, that would certainly do it. Or if you play, you know, certain kinds of music to children, it will calm them down, and yet we don't do this. We haven't made this, you know, compulsory.
No, because we rely on the television.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's a very...
Plonk the kids in front of the telly, and the kids run around singing songs by freaking One Direction or Rihanna and stuff. Partner's 5-year-old knows all the words to Rihanna's songs, and I'm like, does she know the words to, you know...
But Rihanna's a dirty bitch.
I know. But, you know, the album was bought for the child, so she
can... No.
Yeah.
That's inappropriate gift giving.
Absolutely. Didn't agree with it at all. I wanted to give her the soundtrack to Grease.
I grew up listening to a lot of, because you're a big poor, I grew up listening to lots of Irish music.
Beautiful.
Lots of Irish music, lots of Demis Roussos, for reasons that escaped me.
It was the 70s,
yeah,
love.
70s, yes. And loads of classical music. Mm. And ABBA.
Yep.
My first concert was ABBA.
It's exactly the same, because we grew up in a certain time where ABBA were phenomenal. My parents loved ABBA.
Mm.
My mum used to listen to Mario Lanza, and her favourite song was Mario... Her favourite album was Mario Lanza singing The Student Prince.
Mm.
So as we're planning her funeral, we're gonna play that at her funeral. And my dad loved country music, so it's Charlie Pride and all of that sort of stuff. So all of that, and Foster and Ellen.
Mm. And the Furies and...
Bay City Rollers.
Oh, don't!
For us. No, my sisters were obsessed with Eric and Derek.
I loved Kiss. Really wanted to go see Kiss in concert. It was not allowed.
I wasn't allowed to see the Beatles.
Really?
No.
Robbed.
1960.
Totally robbed.
64? 66?
I think it was. And, yeah, so being a bit older, I grew up with Tamla Motown and, you know, amazing people.
Yes.
But this article is really interesting because it says for Alzheimer's patients, it's really helpful for people to listen to golden oldies. Even if patients can't remember familiar faces, they can enjoy and recognise music from their younger days.
Absolutely. We used to get Mum in the car, and if we were driving to Geelong or Ballarat or wherever we were driving to, we'd put on mixtapes that my father had made from records.
Ah, there you go.
Put them on in the car, because we found all these mixtapes in some of Mum's stuff. So we'd put them on in the car, and whilst everything else was going, she would sing along.
Yep.
She would remember.
That's a lot of, that happens a lot with Alzheimer's and dementia, is that they get stuck in a particular time.
Yes.
Which is typically a very long time ago. Mm. So that's their frame of reference for everything. So the old tunes make a lot of sense because it accesses the memory they still have.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. And
see, I've got dementia, I'll be listening to Duran Duran.
Well,
the
given
Human
that
League.
They're saying one in four of us will have dementia.
Mm.
But they also talk in this article about a Finnish study, as in from Finland, stroke recovery patients who listen to music every day show improvements in memory as well as lowering depression levels. So it's the bleeding, obvious.
My dad was in hospital recently, and he was in intensive care for a week, and then when he came out of hospital, all he wanted to listen to, when he came back onto the ward, all he wanted was music.
Mm.
He didn't want the TV, he wanted music. So Mum took him in a little iPod, and, you know, everything was loaded up, and his spirit was just a bit better.
Yes. Mm.
Because he was listening to stuff and he was reading books and he was doing the rehab. And music is so therapeutic. It evokes memories, it evokes emotions, it evokes so much in you.
Well, you were saying earlier that you've made it a bit of a mission to listen to more music.
I'm reading more and I'm listening to more music. So I'm trying to read at the beginning and the end of every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love music. And when I've been living in Melbourne for 4 years, I just haven't... I haven't listened to a lot of music, and that's a real shift for me. And people that come to visit me from WA go, wow, you just don't do that anymore. So I'm reintroducing that now. I'm trying to rely less on watching the box because I work in the media. I make content. All I do is either look at footage, make footage, or review footage. So,
but I love YouTube for that reason, that I can go back and find tracks that I just adore.
I know, and... some of
and watch it and groove along. But when my last marriage ended, I went through a very kind of black patch that lasted for a few years. And my kids said, we knew that you'd met someone else because you started playing music again.
Yep.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Mm.
I play music when I'm... I play music more when I'm in a really nice place,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to... I just love music around me. And I think on the weekend I had an entire day where the music was on constantly. I didn't want the telly on. People came and went through the house, and it was just a lovely day that just had its own soundtrack. And that's my mission, is to continue to have more music.
What's the first album you ever bought, Pete?
With my own money?
Yes.
Would have been 19... probably it would have been either Depeche Mode or The Human League. It would be one of the two.
Mm-hmm. Strain?
ABBA Arrival with my pocket money in 1977.
I see my dad had bought that already, otherwise I'd have got it.
Mine was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts.
Oh, look at you go, love.
Yeah, my parents were disgusted.
Good.
And it's funny how you're talking about YouTube clips and how it takes you back. Just, you mentioned Demis Roussos earlier as well.
Love him.
And you've brought him back up.
I know, well, yeah.
We might play some.
Yeah, we will. My friend, the wind.
Nana Mouskouri.
Well, that's another
you're
one we grew up with.
Beautiful
people. White rose blooms again. she's in the Greek Parliament now, Nana Mouskouri.
And she's still got the rockin' head parting.
Yeah, but she wouldn't support. She wouldn't support a movement in Greece to support equality for same-sex
couples. All right, well, we're right off her. We're not playing
No, I'm screwing. But Demis Roussos, there's a clip when he was on with Bert Newton, and I don't know whether he was here for the Logies.
Oh, yes. No, it was the Tonight Show. He
the Tonight Show, yes.
Yes. Bert Newton dressed up as him.
Very, very funny. Go and have a look at it on YouTube. Bert Newton and Demis Roussos. It's just hysterical. Bert's rocking the caftan.
I love Bert.
Yeah.
Bert's on my bucket list.
Is he?
Yeah. Just to have a hug.
He's a very lovely man.
Yeah,
I missed him at the Logies recently. He just seemed not to be...
I missed a host at the Logies.
Yeah, well, there wasn't one.
Not that I watched
it. He didn't miss much at the Logies.
I watched 5 minutes.
Oh, what
that's
an interminable
great.
4 hours of nonsense could have been done in 1 hour and 10. And we had to keep crossing to Richard Wilkins for the Logies minute. Bugger off.
Useless. The Logies minute.
Yes.
Minute.
Yes. Nice tribute to Molly. I thought that was nice.
He's made a significant contribution to music.
He certainly has.
And he's really helped shape music in Australia.
Definitely.
And a lot of my early childhood music memories are around Countdown.
Yeah, same.
And absolutely not understanding that he was,
before that,
you know,
the Go
the
Show.
Faith or,
Remember when Prince Charles was on Countdown?
Vaguely.
It was very funny.
Mummy.
Yes, Mummy.
Get one a gin and tonic.
I own my newspaper, would you, Mummy?
Yes, there was something you mentioned just then that I was going to... A musical memory that...
You've forgotten.
Yeah.
Do your brain training, Pete.
So what led you to choose that music for me, or was it just, oh, that'll do?
Well, we're not allowed to play music. Well, we can play music that is
copyrighted,
but there's a lot of people who make music, these intros and beds.
Music.
Yeah, that can be used for anything, and... We listened to that and we sort of went, oh, that's perfect for Nani. It's got a lovely swing to it. It's groovy.
And because you wear, it made me think of the clothes that you wear. Because you've always got such beautiful flowing stuff on. And it just made me think of that as a musical
interpretation. Waft out, like a beautiful scent.
I am a bit of a wafter. A Wally wafter.
Nice.
You waft, I mince. See, the music for me would be chosen, it would be marching music.
Would it?
Mince and waft, charged accountants.
What would be chosen for me? I have to give that a bit of thought. That's probably true.
Irish rap.
That's probably true.
No, no, I would suggest, because we've walked in the street and you've like, slow down, homo.
Yeah.
Because I do walk very fast.
Yeah.
You tend to amble more. I think ambling music.
I'm often in trouble for that. My mum and I are notoriously slow walkers, and it drives the family completely burko. And then I have a second cousin who, she's only about nine, and she walks exactly the same way the way my mum and I do. Mm. And, you know, I get my cousin calling me going, she just won't hurry up. I'm like, don't ask me about it, man. It's genetic.
I've got the perfect music for you. You probably don't even remember it. You're too young. It's A Walk in the Black Forest.
Ah.
And it goes, dong, dong, da, dong, 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 da, dong, dong, da, dong, 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 da, dong, da, 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 boom.
We'll have to see if we can find
it. It's hysterical.
So that's my music.
It's an instrumental. Yeah.
Right.
It's
okay.
The Black Forest.
Ambly and kind of enthusiastic.
Because I'm not in a hurry. I don't want to rush through this life. I want to enjoy the view as I go along.
Mm. So if we had to create the soundtrack to an afternoon, what would it entail for either of you?
Oh, gosh.
Or does it depend on the afternoon?
It depends on
the weather. Who and what, really.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, I like dramatic music, but I also like mathematical music. If I'm going to listen to classical music, I like, you know, Bach and...
So it's going to be quite precise.
Yeah, precise but kind of bent as well. You know, music that...
Well,
that's
you're
me
at the
all
right
over
station.
Say that, yeah.
But music that resolves itself in an interesting way, that for me is a good classical listen.
Mm. So a favourite classical artist?
Artist?
Yes.
Oh, I don't care about the artist, I care about the composer.
Well, composer.
Bach
for
every
you.
Time.
Do you have a favourite classical...
I like, my all-time favourite is Canon in D.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, all the way. I like the Nigel Kennedy interpretation of the Four Seasons, yep. And I like the winter component, which is interesting given how much I hate winter, but it's an interpretation that probably sums up the mood that I feel when it's winter, so they're probably my two main faves. And I love the fact that Kennedy, he just interpreted the Four Seasons in such a different way, but also remaining true to the traditional stylings of it. And he looks like he's mad and completely bonkers, and he revolutionised, you know, the violin and the playing of it. And I think...
Fabulous
that,
hair.
Yeah, I just really like everything about the work that he does. But Canon in D is my all-time fave.
Rachmaninoff for me, Rach's third. And I think when I first saw Shine, I went... My God, I love that piece of music, but now I love it even more because it's so difficult to play, and that would be part of the soundtrack to my life.
And mine's slow. I'm a slow walker, you know.
Yeah.
I just amble along, and I like the slower tunes, and I'm just a bit slow.
Mine's precise but bent.
Mm, well, here we go. It's a lovely combination there. We might play some music now. Noni, thank you.
My pleasure. Walk in
the
Black Forest.
We'll
get it.
All right, we'll get it. Thanks,
Noni. I'll be all over.
Good night. Terribly jazzy, that music
is.
This time of night.
It's nearly as jazzy as Noni's music. You know how she was talking just now about how she loves sort of swaying into that almost 70s.
And I think what
music.
We need to do is find that track that she talked about that describes me.
Oh, we will. We
that
will.
Could be quite funny.
We might actually play that in next week just for you.
Just for some giggles. Look, I want to lead off with an article, a news item today that actually made me cry. Mm. And
not in a good cry.
And not in a good cry. I came across, I was reading the gay news on Huffington Post, a fantastic site, and I came across Charles L. Worley, who's a North Carolina pastor, who has a theory, or he has a plan for how he would manage the genocide of gay and lesbians. Mm. So we're going to play the audio from this, and then we're going to come back and chat about it, because it affected me profoundly today.
Sure, yeah.
Of our president getting up and saying that it was all right for two women to marry or two men to marry. I tell you right now, I was disappointed bad, but I tell you right there, as sorry as you can get, the Bible's against it, God's against it, I'm against it, and if you've got any sense, you're against it. I had I figured a way out. A way to get rid of all lesbians and queers, but I couldn't get it past the Congress. build a great, big, large fence, 150 or 100 mile long, put all the lesbians in there, fly over and drop some food. Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals. And have that fence electrified till they can't get out. Feed them. And you know what? In a few years, they'll die out. Do you know why they can't reproduce? If a man ever has a young'un, praise God, he'll be the first one. All of these. You can just weld amen. I'm going to preach the hell out of all of us. Hey, I tell you right now, somebody said, who are you going to vote for? I ain't going to vote for a baby killer and a homosexual lover. You said, did you mean to say that? You better believe I did. God have mercy. It makes me puking sick to think about. I don't even know whether you ought to say this in the pulpit or not. Could you imagine kissing some man? My God, I love you, feller.
That just makes me puking sick.
Yeah, I just, very rarely does the news make me cry because I work in the news and it's what we do for bread and butter, you know. But sometimes I think there's absolutely some of the worst people in the world that have an opinion about how we should be managed. And I can't help but think that if we had equality, these sorts of sermons would be considered a hate crime.
Absolutely. And look, I don't want to talk much more about this because it's so revolting. But, you know, this is in a state that's just banned any hope of a civil union or any sort of registration.
But where you can marry your cousin, just not your gay cousin.
Yep, that's exactly right. Look, that's I can't comment. I'm just, it makes me feel ill. Quick follow-up on Jenna Talakova.
Our transgender Miss Universe.
Yep. She's out. She has lost her bid to win the title. She competed with 61 contestants last weekend. She was among the final 12, but unfortunately she didn't get any further in the competition, which is, look, good for her.
Look, I think it's great that she got the chance. I saw some footage of her the other day. She is beautiful. She is absolutely jaw-droppingly beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful girl. Okay, so there's a Mississippi State Representative, Andy Gibson. He's weighed in on, look, Obama is copping some serious flack for having pushed through marriage equality. And he's using Facebook to invoke a Bible passage that calls for gay men to be put to death.
Yes.
There's a strong death flavor tonight, Pete.
There is.
He calls it, you know, going back to good old Leviticus 20:13 and Romans 1:26-28. Look, he's just saying that he's using Facebook as another pulpit, basically, to call same-sex relationships unnatural and that all same-sex relationships will result in disease. Look, he cherry-picks what he wants from the Bible, and he's using his wall to vent his collective religious
spleen. I'm actually going to go on his wall because
it's Andy Gibson, so I would encourage people to...
G-I-P-S-O-N.
He's a Mississippi... he's a lawmaker.
He's a Republican.
He's a Republican.
What's interesting and what I'd like to go and do on his page is say, you know, Leviticus also says that I can sell my daughter into slavery, that I can smite or smote my neighbour, which means I can kill them if they're farming two different crops in the one paddock.
What about the shellfish thing? That's in there somewhere.
Yep, they can be killed for eating shellfish. If somebody wears two different fabrics, so I'd like to see if Mr. Andy Gibson has got any polycotton blends, because that means we can put him to death just by stoning, according to Leviticus. So
all right, let's get our Facebook wall happening. Mm. It's Andy Gibson.
G-I-P-S-O-N.
And let's share some same-sex love in a way that he might find a little confronting.
Mm.
What do you reckon?
Yes. Just a very quick story from Maryland.
A young lad?
Yes, who wore a skirt to school.
And what happened?
Well, he was kicked out. He was suspended for violating the school's dress code. Now, one wonders, you know, it was a short pink skirt. He had on some high heels and a wig. He doesn't see that he's done anything wrong, and he can't see anywhere in the code of conduct or the dress code that boys can't dress like girls.
It's whether or not, Pete, the short pink skirt, the high heels and the wig is part of the school dress code.
Mm.
Because if you've got a school dress code that's, you know, pants and a shirt, but for the girls it's the same colours and it's skirt and a shirt, then clearly if he wanted to frock up as a chick, then that's what he should have worn. You know, unless it was free dress day. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think the school might have a point here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at all of the legal implications of it before I can make
the
too
legal
much,
implications of
too
it.
Much
okay,
of
then,
a comment.
Thank you very much.
Hey, we're seeing, you talked about a bit of a tide of conservatism that is happening here in Australia. What we're actually seeing in Europe is the opposite.
The opposite.
There was a little by-election in Germany over the weekend, and Angela Merkel, who's the funny-looking woman that heads up Germany and keeps sort of throwing money at everybody else, she runs the Christian Democratic Party, which is in government, and there's a leftist socialist party who won that by-election resoundingly. And this is then reflected in France. Sarkozy's gone, and François Hollande is now the new president of France. And he may be poised to push through legislation to give same-sex couples in France the right for the first time to marry. He declared support during his candidacy for both same-sex marriage and adoption rights for LGBT couples and vowed to pursue the issue in 2013 if he won. He's been sworn into office just a day or two ago. So we're going to watch very closely if he actually holds up to that.
Well done. I think it's such great progression over in Europe. They seem to just dance to their own tune, which is great. And yet we see the same broken record playing in America, because we're going to go back to America now.
Yes.
Now we're in Georgia. Shorter stuff. University's personal lifestyle statement has been distributed to its staff, which bans gay employees. And so there's been a mass faculty exodus. So there's this statement that includes rejecting homosexuality and all pleasures of the flesh that might be of a same-sex nature. So there's been an anonymous survey done through Inside Higher Education that cites a mere 12% of the faculty said they plan to stay at this university. It's a 139-year-old Baptist school located in Rome, Georgia. Two dozen staff members had already resigned before their new contracts were distributed because the pledge was condemning premarital sex and being a homo and public drinking, all of the fun stuff. And,
God, it's public drinking. Could you imagine how many university lecturers would be out in their ass if that happened
What
here?
About all the fraternities?
Yeah, totally.
God, they'd be dry. So look, you know, there's an online campaign called Save Our Shorter, which seems to blame the departure of many employees on the pledge, even though the university's president has told Religion News Service that some of those who resigned did not state their reason for leaving. Well, people vote with their feet.
Exactly.
Don't they? I think, you know, there's been, you know, people wanting to leave because if they didn't, then they'd be seen to be promoting these messages, and that's against their own ethical code as people.
One of the school's tenured professors, Sherry Weiler, wrote in the local paper, "I'm simply not going to judge anyone who expresses his or her sexuality in this way. All I know is that I cannot sign a document that rejects as acceptable any one of God's creatures, be they adulterers, sexual sinners or of any stripe, or drinkers of alcohol in public. All I know is that I cannot reject as acceptable people who have sinned in any way, because I've sinned too and no doubt will again."
Well, we're going to stay in America now.
Yes.
Building on that little level of southern dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And we're going to a guy called Jack Conkling, a Prairie Hills Middle School social studies teacher at Beulah High School, and a Beulah High School assistant to the women's basketball coach in Kansas. He's again taken to Facebook, and he's been equating being gay to being a murderer. In his post, he comments on gay marriage and he writes that homosexuality ranks in God's eyes the same as murder, lying, stealing or cheating.
I swear that it'd be lying, stealing or cheating.
Lying or stealing.
Stealing or cheating.
Because God is again it.
He's again it.
And again it.
And I'm again it.
And I'm again it.
And the world's again it.
Look, he had some students on his Facebook who left some comments on the post and that led the school to take notice. And he's defended it, saying, "I wrote that for my Facebook friends who understand my heart and intent." And now he's saying that people don't understand his heart, and that makes him sad.
I understand his heart.
So, look, should we read a quick little quote about what he said?
Yeah.
"All this talk in the news about gay marriage recently has driven me to write. Gay marriage is wrong because homosexuality is wrong. Now, I do not claim it to be a sin any worse than other sins. It ranks in God's eyes as the murdering and lying and
stealing. And the cheating and
sin
the
is sin, and we all deserve hell. I'm not condemning gay marriage because I hate gay people. I'm doing it because of those who embrace it will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you and I have long since decided that we'll be dressing for warmer weather when our
time comes. Absolutely, because I don't want to go to heaven with all these people who think they're going to go there.
Oh, God, I'm going to burst into flames if I get
up there. Well, we'll quite literally self-combust.
Spontaneous combustion, yes, I believe it's called.
Yes, yes. Where are we going with this next? We've got so much news in front of us.
I want to talk about Zimbabwe, actually.
Yeah, let's.
Look, you know that I've got a little bit of a link there with
yes,
a with
you
a
were
film
there last year.
A couple of years ago now when I shot a film over there. And the United Nations Human Rights Commissioner, Navi Pillay, who's arrived in the country on Sunday just gone, has begun meeting relevant ministerial officials and civic society organisations in her assessment of the human rights situation in Zimbabwe. Now, having been there, I can tell you there's not a lot of rights going on.
No.
So what they're wanting to do is to create a dialogue to stop the persecution of gay and lesbian citizens, because we know that there's all that conversion raping happening over there.
Yep.
And I know that, you know, most of our team that travelled there was gay, not by design, but we had to pretend that we were heteros
because
we had a gender balance, so we had to hold hands and stuff. Look, you know, a local government minister in Zimbabwe called on traditional chiefs to banish people who support homosexuality, and this was last week, and to take away their land. So Mugabe continues to assert, even as recently as November, that homosexuals would be punished for their behaviour in accordance with African and Christian values.
Now, last Friday, this is the bit that gets me, he said that he's afraid to equate gays to pigs and dogs, as the animals would be angry at him because the animals could identify their female mating partners. Now, this is you know, noise coming from a man who's been, you know, given this right by the Justice and Legal Affairs Minister, Patrick Chinamasa. It's just...
Mugabe's also said that gays are worse than pigs and dogs, as we've stated. He says, I say they're worse because I have pigs in my farm. They can identify their mating partners. I also have a small dog notorious for getting neighbours' dogs pregnant. I can't compare these animals to gays because they'll be angry at me.
Now, this is
so we don't have emotions, but animals do.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that homosexuality actually exists in many breeds, or many forms of animal, but homophobia only exists in one.
This is very true. Aren't penguins a little
dolphins, donkeys,
penguins, homosexuals? Yes.
We've got to quickly wrap up, but one more president.
Malawi.
Malawi. Joyce Banda, who is the new president of Malawi, has said she intends to repeal the country's ban on homosexuality, along with a number of other oppressive laws, which have been criticised by international donors and rights groups. In her State of the Nation address on Friday, Southern Africa's first female president told Parliament that some of the laws that were duly passed by this House will be repealed as a matter of urgency. We're going to follow this because it'll be...
They'll be the first African country to legally recognise homosexuals since 1996.
In 2010, two Malawian men were sentenced to 14 years after celebrating their engagement in public. You know, it's we will watch this because, you know, parts of Nigeria and Sudan, homosexuality is punished by death. And in Uganda, offenders can receive a life sentence. So if there is change, if the change can ripple a little bit, then we might see some
from
change.
From little things, big things will grow, I would hope.
Am I allowed to talk about Mickey Mouse?
Well, I think we have to do it really quickly because we're running out of time tonight. We need to announce the Donald.
We do. Days after Barack Obama gave his public backing to gay marriage in the US, Mickey Mouse has emerged as the unlikely champion of same-sex unions in Japan. Tokyo Disneyland said this week that it would allow gay couples to hold ceremonies on its grounds, although same-sex weddings have no legal status in Japan. So, yes, Mickey Mouse is all for it from Tokyo Disney. And they'll be able to have some big gay weddings at Tokyo Disney. Tokyo Disney is mad as it is.
It's a lot of fun.
Imagine all the gays running around. Let's have a little bit of a Donald.
Let's have a Donald Award. A little bit of chatter over the song there
coming in.
We're saying, Pete, we need nominees.
We need nominees. Well, the first nominee is from the LNP in Queensland, Clem Newton Brown, who's going to send Queensland into the dark by the repealing of the civil union.
Campbell Newman.
I do humbly and reservedly apologise. Charles Worley, the North Carolina pastor, He's definitely up. Andy Gibson is also up. I'm just flicking through this because it's just, it's crazy. The Shorter University as a general, because I think they should be shot. And Jack Conkling, who is the Facebook poster, who says that liking being gay to being a murderer.
Look, I think there's some stellar nominees tonight, yes. Pete, but I think as much as I want to give it to Campbell Newman, I think there'll be many, many opportunities for him to win this award. I see several nominations in his future, but tonight I'd like to award it to America.
Yep, in general.
To the southern of America, so Georgia, Kansas, North Carolina, in particular that revolting man that we played the audio of. Mm. He's at the top of my list tonight.
And I'm against him.
So we do award the Donald Award, our tool of the week, to America, particularly the South.
And that would that would mean it's the end of it. Look, thank you, Matthew, for looking after our panel and pressing our buttons. It's very good of you to do
it
so.
It is, because it's so late. We're just crawling.
Honey's going to be. I'm stumbling over things.
I know, it's been a long day, love. Look, thank you for listening, everyone. Please send us an email or a tweet, and we'll catch you all next week.
Good night.
Good night. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. So polite, I always thought a fish could not be caught who didn't fight. But you got some bait awaiting, and I think I might like never been a little afternoon delight. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.